this. Hey everybody, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and I'm here for another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast, and I've got a special guest with me today. I've got Joe Lawwell, who's with Bike Skills. They run skills clinics and stuff like that, and Joe is also the guy behind the famous Lawwell suspension design. So, Joe, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Nice, man. So, just kind of jumping right into it, for those that don't know, what is your background, kind of in mountain biking in general, and how did you get into the skills coaching, game?
Okay, well, I have a long history of riding two wheels. As a kid, I was real into the BMX thing, and but then I soon got into motorcycles because, you may or may not know, my dad was a professional dirt track and road racer for 17 years, and so I grew up, from the time I was born, there was motorcycles and activity like that going on, and so I got into the motorcycle thing, and I grew up in Marin, and at first we had open hills, and so I was come straight home from school, get on my mini bike, and I'm riding through the hills, but as time came on, houses came, and all my places started disappearing, and by the time I was in high school, I was actually had it in mind that I would turn pro and be a pro motocrosser. But I was also driving an hour to 2 hours every single time I wanted to ride, and that started to get pretty old. And coincidentally, at the same time, my dad, who had retired from racing, obviously, was running some race teams, but he was phasing out of that, and he was really excited about mountain bikes. And he met Gary Fisher, who at the time was, this is 1989, and he was one of the bigger players at the time. And Gary, who's always been, I consider, a very forward-thinking guy, was really interested in suspension. And talking with my dad, the two got together and just, you know, talked suspension. We got to have suspension. This is the future. And so my dad went on a mountain bike ride. He's not really a big mountain biker, but he did come out with a cruiser in 1977, which was actually the first production mountain bike in the history, and he was actually inducted into the Mountain Bike Hall of Fame for producing what was called the Pro Cruiser. Nice. And anyways, he went for a ride with Gary, and he brought out his Pro Cruiser, which incidentally had 69 parallel seat and head angle, which was pretty good for going downhill. Especially compared to whatever else was available at the time, which is essentially a road bike that was converted. And he just pretty much got wiped out because he didn't have bike training at all. And so his first thought was, if he's going to put suspension on there, it can't take any of my energy because he had very little to use. So anyways, he started tinkering around with these suspensions, trying to figure out how to make sure that it's not going to consume energy. So I'm watching those two guys cutting and welding and just make the craziest contraptions.
And so then obviously that's kind of how you got into the suspension design thing too, just kind of the influence of watching your dad and Gary and just kind of tinkering with stuff and coming up with some ideas of your own of what should work and what shouldn't work and stuff.
Yeah, it was actually pretty fun to have a machine shop. And, you know, basically, first we had to solve the stuff that was breaking in half. And, you know, as we solved that, we start playing around with just moving pivot points, quarter inch this way, quarter inch that way. And, you know, they're drawing it all out on the drafting table and, you know, all full size, watching the suspension go through its arcs. So there's, you know, no computer work. It was all paper. And so we kind of have a general idea on what should work, and then we make these dropouts. And I mean, the concept of the parallel swing arm, which is what the Schwinn and the Yetis and the early Gary Fisher all used, the concept was solid. But if you move those pivots just a little bit, it can throw off the whole thing. And by making dropouts with all these different pivot locations, we could quickly prove our theories. And it was amazing that, I mean, it's one thing to see on paper and, okay, well, this should work, but then when you ride it and move those pivot points and feel the difference, you know, you not only get in tune with what's going on, but you can see what works and what doesn't work.
Nice. Awesome. So what, how'd you get into the skills coaching thing?
Well, that started from, I mean, I've always been the type that analyzes and tries to figure out things from, you know, figuring out the suspension, figuring out how to make it work as good as possible. And so, you know, I approach my riding the same way. When I get up on these trails, Miles was just an amazing talent to drive. I mean, that guy, he is just a natural, you know, he just has that knows how to look at things and attack, and I don't really feel that I have a lot of those natural talents, and so I kind of break down what he was doing, figure out what makes sense, and, you know, practice it over and over again. And, you know, there would be sections of trail where I'd hike back up, and I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but sometimes I would do the next section maybe 30 times, just keep going back until I get it right, try and figure out a better way. So I just break down stuff to where technically I knew this is how it had to be done to get through it cleanly, safely, and of course, because I was racing, I wanted to do it as quickly as possible. So just that approach had taught me to really break it down and figure out where my arms, where my eyes, where, you know, my body position, where everything needs to be, you know, for optimal results. And ran into a guy when I was tailing it out of my racing that kept trying to talk me into working with him because he had heard that, you know, I'm pretty technical about my riding and I've, you know, given tips to people. I've done some how-tos and things here and there. And so this guy's name was Rothenberg. And so he eventually convinced me to come out with him, and he was super stoked on what I showed him. He goes, well, can I bring some buddies? And so he brought out a few buddies the next time, and I was still at the time, this is probably 2000, I was still kind of wanting to be more of a racer, and so then Woods got blew him off, but I didn't really want to get too involved with that. Also, I didn't really want to slow down my pace and work with guys because I was just focused on, you know, I needed to go a certain speed and all that, but he kept after me. He was really, really persistent. And I started noticing that these guys were improving, like, unbelievable amount. And
that's awesome, man. So, yeah, skills coaching is kind of one of those things that, I mean, unfortunately, I'd have to say that, you know, your average mountain biker hasn't really invested in, and you know, there's still some kind of, you know, some mystery as to, like, you know, do I need to be, like, a super serious rider in order to invest in skills coaching and stuff like that. So, you know, from your, you know, obviously you've got a lot of experience doing this. From your standpoint, you know, what does the average rider stand to gain from investing in some skills coaching and stuff?
Well, it's funny you bring that up. The guys aren't, you know, sure if it's something that they need to do. I guess it's because mountain biking, the big picture, has really only been around for, what, 25 years? And, you know, the ski industry, which parallels mountain biking in a lot of ways, has been doing ski clinics for, I mean, I don't know how many years, 50-plus years probably. And it's just accepted that when you go up to the snow, you know, you bring new people, they take a clinic. It's just, I don't know, people got used to it, but it's accepted, and that's just what you do. But for mountain bikes, it's kind of been a lot more loosely structured. Pretty much you can go down to a bike shop, and, you know, nobody talks about teaching you anything. In fact, a lot of bike shops, unfortunately, don't do a very good job of even setting up bikes. They pretty much just get that sale, get you on your bike, sell you a helmet, a few other things, and, you know, see you later. And so it would be great if it was just a more accepted practice that, you know, you buy a bike, you go take a clinic. But it just kind of hasn't unfolded like that yet. And so people are just out there, and they got their bike, they jump on, they get a trail map, and they just follow these trails. And, you know, they really have no technique. They just kind of figure it out. There'll be some guys, oh, well, I rode a BMX as a kid, and so, you know, I got this mountain bike with gears, so now I can go ride over the hills. And now I got suspension, so I can ride through the rocks. And it just seems to be, you know, left at that. So it's been, for us, a bit of a challenge to try and just reach people and let them know that, you know, it is super critical to get some professional instruction. Because, you know, I've seen people give advice to other people, and if I'm not in my official clinic where waivers are signed, I pretty much just stand back and, you know, I let people do what they're going to do. And, you know, if they say something that's, like, really going to get someone in trouble, I'm going to say something. But, you know, I stand back and they don't know that I teach stuff. And the advice that people give is just amazing. It's terrible. A lot of times it's just totally wrong. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And not really helping anybody. So if there's a way to reach these people, get them in a clinic. And, you know, like, so many of my people that do finally take a clinic for whatever reason, they're telling their friends. And the majority of my business is all referrals. Because people go, oh, man, I never even knew that there was such a thing as a bike clinic. And, you know, my friend, I couldn't believe what he could do. He feels so much better. He feels so much safer. And so we get these people showing up, and, you know, they gain a lot of confidence. They, you know, not getting hurt as much. You know, they get a lot more enjoyment with their bikes. So, I mean, that's to sum it up. You know, if you take a class, you're going to not only feel good about knowing that you're doing the right thing, or you're being taught the proper way to do things, but, you know, you're going to have a lot more enjoyment, you know, once you're out on the trail. I know for me, I don't have a lot of time to go out riding my bike these days, because I don't make a living racing my bike. You know, I have a regular job, and so when I take that 2 hours or 3 hours to go ride my bike, I don't want to waste it. So I want to get the most out of my limited time that I have. And if I don't know what I'm doing, it's, you know, it's going to leave chances to get hurt or just not have a good time. So if I can get these people in these classes, you know, show them the right way, give them some things to practice, and, you know, I think they'll all be a lot safer and get a lot more enjoyment out of what a lot of guys, you know, spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on their bikes, you know, actually get some good use out of them.
Yeah, it's something I've kind of talked about before is the rider with the $5,000 bike and the $5 skills, you know, trying to make it out on the tri. I think it's a pretty interesting point you make. Cause that's, you know, one of the things I hear from riders about training is, you know, I'm just not serious enough. I just don't get out and ride enough to invest in training, or, you know, you're hearing it with skills coaching. I think that's a really good point that, you know, riders that don't get a chance to get out and ride that much, you know, in some ways actually need skills coaching and stuff, more so just because of the fact, you know, like you pointed out, that when they do get out on the trail, you know, they're going to have more fun, they're going to get more out of those, that limited time that they have, rather than, you know, just kind of, you know, not really enjoying the ride as much. So, so kind of in that vein, I mean, you know, with all your experience and stuff, you know, maybe hard to summarize into three things, but, you know, what are like the top three things that you see riders doing wrong on the trail that, you know, they could be able to, you know, that help them get more out of their riding?
Well, I would say even before they get like, get the bike set up, a lot of guys are just out there with their suspension not set right. They have a riding position that's typically probably their weight's too far forward on the bike. So that's the first thing, is to really pay attention to your bike setup. Make sure you don't have too long of a stem. You know, if your bars are, you know, if you have real narrow bars or low rise bars and your whole center of gravity sit too far forward, as soon as you hit some steep sections, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The bike setup is super critical. Another thing is, once they're on the trail, is I see people not carrying enough weight on the back of the bike, and I actually see people sitting down on downhill sections. And one of the things I teach in my class is the second the trail starts to go down, we pop into what I call the attack position, and it's pretty simple, really. It's being out of the saddle. If anything, using your inner thighs to, or your knees to pinch the saddle as a contact point on the bike. But you just don't want to be resting your weight on the saddle. You know, make sure that, you know, you're able to move forward and back, and your eyes are looking, your elbows are in a comfortable position to where you can either pull on the bars or push on the bars to either pump a section or to absorb a section. And then where you're looking, I got a little one-liner that scan, acknowledge, and move on. So I see a lot of people just focus dead in front of their front wheel, and all they see is what's coming 2 feet in front of them. And so that all goes along with that riding position. Let's see, probably to go along with something else that I see a lot wrong is they start letting those elbows drop when they're in that attack position. As soon as that happens, you start losing control on the bike, and if something comes at you, you're not in a good position to get yourself out of it. So keeping those elbows up, keeping your attack position and your bike setup is super key. And I guess one other thing I could point out is putting too much weight on that front wheel. Not so much just keeping your weight back, but being in a position to where you can actually unweight that front wheel. Because I see people just run straight into things, and luckily the suspension, it has advanced so much that you can get away with a lot, but not every time. And so if people can learn how to unweight that front wheel and not put so much weight on it, that could save a lot of crashes.
So you mean that 6 inches of suspension isn't so you can just bash into every rock on the trail?
It's going to help you get away with a lot of stuff that you never would have in the past, for sure. But regardless, if I have 8 inches of travel, you still need to be able to unweight that fork. And, you know, if you think about it, you have all this travel at 6 inches, whatever. That means that your bar height is going to move 6 inches. So if you hit that rock, your bar is just moved down 6 inches. And if you're not prepared for that, that could easily throw your weight forward. And if there's another rock coming again, you hit that, and your body weight's going to be too far forward, and that could get you. So get away with, but if there's another one right after it, that's the one that's probably going to get you.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, that's kind of something I've observed in watching riders. You can always kind of tell riders that have some technical skill versus, you know, I guess your average rider. You know, you watch your average rider, and they almost look like they're along for the ride. You know, like they're on a bucking bronco going down the trail, and then you watch a rider that has some, you know, good technique and technical skills, and they almost look like they're hovering over the bike, and the bike's just, you know, underneath them, helping them get down the trail. But yeah, that whole keeping your butt in the seat and just bashing into every rock in sight, that's definitely something I cringe when I see on the trail, because I used to be a mechanic, so I know that even though your bike can do that, doesn't mean that it enjoys doing that. So so what would you say is, like, you covered a couple things that you see people do wrong on the trail. I mean, what's the easiest thing for a rider to do to, you know, start improving their technique? I mean, if you could, like, you know, try to pin down one or two things that, you know, you wish every rider would kind of start doing tomorrow, what would that be?
Probably a combination of moving around on the bike and then acknowledging the terrain. So if there's a dip if you're coming up to a dip in the trail, that you actually pump the bike into that dip, and then when there's something, you know, a little up spot, or the, you know, the exit of the dip is going to be coming up. So being able to absorb that, or to be able to come to a rock, you know, section of rocks or something, just acknowledging that terrain and not just plowing through it. If they can just acknowledge that stuff, you know, be loose on that bike, so you don't want to be a sack of potatoes on there. Just moving around that bike and acknowledging and, you know, absorbing or pumping the terrain. Pretty much, like, my goal is to keep the tires glued to the ground. So if you just ghost rode your bike through a section, it's going to bounce and, you know, go crashing over the bars probably. So paying attention to that and manipulating your body weight to keep that bike planted on the ground is going to be one of your best benefits you can do. And it's just paying attention and being able to read that terrain rather than just being stiff and running into it. So, you know, if you need to remind yourself when you're on the bike, first, you know, scan, acknowledge, and then move on. So, you know, you scan it, then you acknowledge it, you do what you need to, and then you go to the next subject. Don't just look right in front of you. Just keep reminding yourself to move around on that bike. You know, show a little attitude on the bike. You know, it's not a road bike. You know, feel some body English, moving around. The more you can move around the bike, the better you're going to be off.
No, not now you've done it. Now you've separated us from the roadies again. That's kind of one of my pet peeves, is anyone who's followed my stuff knows, is, you know, mountain biking is not road biking. And, you know, from a fitness standpoint, from a technique standpoint, you know, just because they both take place on two wheels. So I like even more now, Joe, now that you kind of called out the roadie influence and mentioned that, you know, we're not roadies, so get your ass out of the seat and move around some. So yeah, that's awesome advice, man. So, well, right on, man. Well, you know, I think that's about it, man. I think we've gotten some good info on this. I definitely want to keep in touch with you and maybe do, you know, a follow-up interview, or maybe even you know, a teleseminar at some point. I think, you know, some of my readers definitely be real interested in this stuff. So, you know, anybody that wants to get more info on, you know, the bike skills clinics can go to bikeskills.com. Is that pretty much the best way to get more info on it?
Yeah. Well, you can go to YouTube and go to our bike skills channel, and we've created a number of free how-to videos, and so definitely want to check those out. And they're also on our bike skills website as well. But, you know, either way, and yeah, you go to the website, there's a lot of information. We got a lot of other stuff going on in there, and we're starting to spread out. We got a few more instructors in different locations, and
awesome. Yeah, and I was checking out some of your videos there, and yeah, they're definitely top notch. I mean, you guys do good production quality on them. Lots of good info in them. So I definitely encourage by listening to this to go and check that out, the Bike Skills channel on YouTube and also the Bike Skills blogs. You guys got some pretty interesting stuff there. I mean, I see like right now you've actually got a blog post on like getting like shooting, like using a camera and how to kind of use cameras and properly use them to get better mountain biking shots and stuff like that. So pretty interesting stuff. Kind of goes outside the box of what people normally think about with a biking website and info and stuff like that. So awesome, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate your time. I don't want to take up any more of it. I know you're a busy guy. I appreciate what you've done for us so far. So I guess unless you got something else to add, I guess we'll just sign off.
One last thing.
Yeah.
Just give a shout out to the companies that have stood by us from the early days. Santa Cruz Bikes has been an awesome supporter. They get it. They know how important instruction is. They're definitely core into racing, but they're also super supportive of our bike clinics, which we really love. And then Fox Racing Shock, who I'm sure everybody knows, makes incredible suspension. And so they've been really supportive. We've got Hayes Brakes that's been standing behind the clinics, WTB, Clip Bar, and Genuine Innovations is really fired up on what we're doing. They make the CO2 inflators, Deuter backpacks, the hydration systems. Hopefully I'm not leaving anybody out, but those guys have definitely been with us, supportive, and SRAM is actually stepping up and acknowledging us, and for whatever reason, it's been a tough fight to get these companies to realize how important instruction is, and I think they're starting to see it. So we got a lot of hits on our videos, and so they know that we're reaching people. In fact, we reach more people than coverage from the World Championships, which I'm a racer, and it kind of bums me out, but I guess it is what it is. People are more about the ride than the racers. So
yeah.
Anything we can do to get people riding safe and fast and all that stuff.
Heck yeah, no, I'm totally with you on that, man. I think that companies like that are stepping up and kind of helping take our sport to the next level. Because I think for too long the message has been that if you want to get better on your bike, the answer is in a new derailleur or lighter wheels or something like that. And while those things definitely have a place, I think that more companies are starting to realize that developing the riders and the people that are actually using the equipment is just going to enhance their, their appreciation and fun on the trail and just kind of, foster a better experience for everybody. So yeah, it's awesome, man. Your sponsors are, all top-notch companies and glad you got that in there, because I definitely encourage people to support companies that are, supporting our sport on, on more levels than just buying advertising in magazines and stuff like that. So, so that's awesome,
and,
Joe.
I do want to thank you for acknowledging the skills clinics. I think that's great. I'd love to see people, getting their body in shape, doing your strength training it's so critical. And then piece that together with some professional bike riding skills, and it's an awesome combo. So I'm glad to be a part of what you're doing here.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I definitely think, like I said, I definitely want to stay in touch with you and with Bike Skills and, see how I might be able to help you guys out as well, because I definitely know that riders that have a little more core strength and a little bit more ability, mobility and power and stuff can, get more out of their technique and stuff like that. So, the two definitely go hand in hand, which is why I'm such a big, you know, big supporter of skills training and stuff like that. So awesome, man. Man, I really appreciate your time again, and this has been a real pleasure and an honor. You know, I'm a mountain bike fan first and foremost, so I definitely know who you are and you know what you've done for the industry and stuff like that. So this has been a real pleasure for me, and I hope hope everybody listening to this has enjoyed it as well. So so it's been Joe Lawwell with Bike Skills, and check him out at bikeskills.com. And it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. You can check me out at bikejames.com. And I guess that's about it, Joe. So appreciate your time, and I guess we'll talk to you next time.
All right, sounds good.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
All right.